Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this evening comes from our gospel reading of Luke. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Thus far the text. I could begin this sermon the way in which the vast majority of Thanksgiving Day sermons are going to be preached this year. I could crack a joke about 2020, and we would all awkwardly chuckle underneath our masks. I could admonish us for the lack of thankfulness and tell us all to do better. I could encourage us to look at all the blessings that we still have, despite the fact that this world has gone crazy. And if you ever needed proof about how crazy the world has become, us included, this is now the second time this year that I've had to worry about toilet paper. Toilet paper. Of all things. I never thought in all of my days I would have to worry about toilet paper, or on the flip side, be thankful for it. Toilet paper is just one of those things that's always in the cabinet, always on the shelf at Walmart. It's a silly thing to be worried about, but then again, here we are. 2020 has been quite the year, and it seems as if we aren't done with it yet. The things that we're dealing with today are going to bleed over into next year as well. They're not going to magically disappear when the clock strikes midnight a month and some change from now. College kids, they're still going to quarantine in their own dorm rooms and learn remotely, when they should be sitting next to their peers in class during the day and partying with them at night. Parents are still going to have to be teachers, at least part-time ones. Hospitals are still going to be full, whether it be from COVID or from anything and everything else out there that can cause us harm. Funerals are still going to happen, some of them expected, some of them, unfortunately, unexpected. That's just the reality of this year. But I ask you, is that just the reality of this year, or is that just reality? Perhaps this year, more than any, we all have a better understanding of what it means to be a leper. Keep your distance. Stay home and stay safe. Love your neighbor by social distancing. It all seems so eerily similar to the poor fools in our text. And maybe we should all be a little bit angry about it. Probably we're all a little bit fed up by now in one way or another. Certainly we're all just waiting for that day when life gets back to normal. I know that we're all lamenting the reality of this year, just pining for the good old days. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't. I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray for an end to this pandemic and all of the unforeseen consequences of this invisible enemy of ours. But the stark reality of it all is that while we are living in this fallen and broken world, sometimes 2020 just happens, and there's nothing that you can do about it. Sometimes you're just going to be a leper. Does that sound weird? It shouldn't. Sometimes the world just is. No, the world just is. Because this is the world in which we live, the fallen, broken, sinful world that is slowly inching its way toward its inevitable end. And we all know this to be the case, but I suppose it's just easier to pretend differently. Blinders are nice. They keep us from seeing the stuff, the ugly stuff around us, but blinders aren't always helpful. And I know none of us likes the gray. We much prefer the black and the white, the good and the bad, the right way and the wrong way to get out of a situation. We all want the easy answer to the difficult question, with no middle ground, no apprehension. But that's not life. We live in the gray. We swim around in the gray, in the muck and the mire of sinful uncertainty. And while we're wallowing through it all, we just want deliverance. We just want to cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." We're all going to wake up tomorrow with leprosy. And if not leprosy, then COVID. And if not COVID, then something else that's going to remind us once again that we live in a 2020 world, which is nothing more to say than we live in a fallen and broken world of suffering. The 10 lepers in our text, they're healed. Every last one of them. And perhaps, too, we will be delivered from our present suffering. Maybe, just maybe, our Lord will take away the thing that ails us. But even if he does, the leper is still going to die from something. All 10 of those lepers still met their inevitable end and found themselves in the grave. I know. Quite the stark reality. Probably not the Thanksgiving Day sermon you all expected. But my purpose in saying all of this is twofold. Perhaps we shouldn't focus on the healing that we find in our text. Maybe that isn't seeing the forest for the trees. For while it's certain that our Lord does provide for us all of the temporal things that we need to support this body and life, he also admonishes us to realize that life is more than just health and wealth. Those things are good. We should give thanks for them. But they're not the end. Our ultimate hope is not in the momentary deliverance from momentary adversity, but instead it is in the things of eternity. And this brings us to our second point. Standing before the 10 lepers in our text is the God of the universe. Here is the one who created all things, and he created it good. He created all things very good. But sin slithered in and set good to evil. Death swept its way onto the scene after sin infested creation and destroyed it down to its very core. The perfect world was thrown into chaos, and things were set into motion that could not be remedied with healthy living and righteous indignation. The world is fallen. Fallen and broken and ruined. And so are we. Now, a less gracious God would have started all over. A less merciful God would have deemed it better to scrap this fallen place and begin anew. But that's not the type of God that we have. Instead of crumpling up us and this little world into a ball and tossing it into the trash can, he decided to redeem it. But his redemption wouldn't come while he kept himself safe, tucked up there away in the heavens, seated on his glorious throne. Instead of quarantining himself away from all of it, he deemed it good and right and salutary that he should jump head first right into the pandemic. And so it would happen that he would come across a group of lepers that were indeed wallowing in the muck and mire of this fallen and diseased world. In the flesh, God walks up to them, staring at their disfigured faces, taking in with human ears their cries of mercy. And he speaks to them with audible words, a message of healing. But this message of healing, this miracle that actually takes place in time and space, only speaks to something greater. For the redemption of the world is his ultimate purpose, not just momentary healing of momentary affliction. Our Lord is in the business of making things new. The new heavens and the new earth is a promise given, and a promise that he will most certainly keep. There will be a day when the Garden of Eden is once again alive and well, and never again to be cast into sinfully diseased death. And on that day, there will be no more pain, or sickness, or pandemics, or COVID, no more sin, or disease, or hatred, or malice, or suffering, or loneliness, or anger, or confusion, or apprehension, or worry, or dread, or leprosy, or 2020, or death. There will just be life. Life in him. And he will be there in the flesh with us. Emmanuel, once again, face to face, in never-ending joy and comfort and peace. But until that day, we do still live in this fallen and broken world, full of gray, full of uncertainty, full of temporal blessings that come and go as our Lord deems necessary. All right, fine. Let us live with our fellow lepers in this world of gray. Let us share in each other's burdens and carry each other's weight. And yes, even suffer with each other's weaknesses and sin. For we're all lepers down here in one way or another. We're all dealing with the same sin that stains and the same death that kills. So as odd as it sounds, let us be thankful for the gray. And I know it does sound weird, but let us be thankful. And let us be thankful for our fellow lepers, and perhaps even too for the suffering that leprosy brings. For our Lord has promised not to necessarily deliver us from all of that today, or tomorrow, or next year, but he will deliver us from it. And in the meantime, we suffer with joyful hearts the leprosy that afflicts us, knowing full well that it has been conquered in the flesh by a flesh and blood God who has become one of us in order to share our sufferings with us, making them his and killing them on the cross. And this does bring us back to our text and that last and final line where the lone leper is fallen at the feet of Jesus with his leprous-less head buried in the ground. And Jesus declares to this man that his faith has saved him. That's the Greek. Not like our English puts it, your faith has made you well, but instead, your faith has saved you. But faith in what, though? Faith in earthly blessings? Faith in healthy life, free from danger? Faith in temporal healing? No. Faith in God in the flesh, in the person of Jesus, who stands right before him, who has come to give true and eternal life through his death on the cross and resurrection from the grave. Faith in the forgiveness of sins won on that cross and given out in throaty words of gracious mercy. The faith that saves is the faith that clings on to the feet of the one who saves from sin and death and the devil. And yes, temporal reprieve may come. When it does, let us give thanks to the Lord above for all of his wondrously gracious gifts. When it doesn't, let us give thanks to the Lord above, who did not stay up there above, but came down here to the under, right where we are, right where we suffer. Let us give thanks to that God, who in the flesh saves and in the flesh forgives and in the flesh promises to be with us always in the muck and the mire of this fallen world until that day when he comes again and delivers us once and for all to the new life and new creation everlasting. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.